The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers, and on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. A little tiny thought for you here today. Here's the first act of our Lord that we see recorded in the Gospel of Mark, the first sign of Jesus' power, and it is an exorcism. Now, the Gospel of Mark, just like so many other ancient Christian authors, is not so terribly concerned about recording the exact chronology of events as he is in conveying an important message. And I think I mentioned a lot of this before, but you know, Mark was written to Christians suffering persecution at the hands of the Emperor Nero in Rome. These people were dying for their faith, and they wanted to know that Jesus had conquered the power of evil. They wanted confidence. So the very first thing Mark does is he records his exorcism. And unlike so many other Gospels, he kind of skips over a number of different events. But he wants to show Jesus has conquered the power of evil. However, Mark makes it very clear that even though our Lord has conquered, he has not annihilated evil from the face of the earth. Evil still gets its hour. Even over the Son of God, evil gets its hour. So here's an important little opportunity now just to talk about that subject. You know, it's the greatest, in fact, it's the only argument that an atheist can effectively use against the existence of God, and that is the existence of evil. So let's talk about this just briefly, just real briefly here this morning. First thing we want to understand, evil does not have an existence in the same way that good exists. It's a privation. Can I give you a metaphor that can explain this just a little bit? Imagine a sweater with a hole in it. If you saw me in the last few weeks, you know I had a great big sweater with a big hole right in the elbow, because that's where it always wears out. Question for you this morning. Is the hole part of the sweater? It's not part of the sweater. It's something that should be there, and it's lacking. It's an absence. Evil is an absence. It's something that should be there, but it's been somehow cast into the shadows, okay? And in addition to this, there are beings, purely spiritual beings, that are personifications of evil. It's important to understand that when we talk about exorcisms and demons, these are real personal creatures originally created by God. Every demon and Lucifer is a personal being, and not just, you know, like a metaphor for the evil that's in man's heart. God created angels. And I think this is very important. There's a realm of purely spiritual beings entirely above us, a whole echelon of creation ahead of us, just the same as, you know, you're an entire echelon of creation above the animals. And these beings were also given free will, just like you and I have free will. And many of them fail to use their free will in the service of goodness. We don't know how they were tested or what their test was, but they were tested and many of them failed. Those who failed became the demons. They're real. And Lucifer was the greatest of them all. Now, it's a great misunderstanding. People often think that the devil is God's equal and his opposite. It's important to understand that God has no equal and has no opposite, which means that even though demons exist, they do not run about the whole world doing whatever they want. God is always present and always in charge. So we look around at our meshed up world, and it's entirely clear God has allowed evil to have a really long leash. But perhaps a summary of why it's been allowed to have a long leash will help you. There's two basic reasons why God will allow evil. Okay, two basic reasons. One is to strengthen you, and the other is to test you. It's always for a season and always for a reason. Remember that. There's two basic kinds of temptations. They're called probative and seductive temptations. A probative temptation is a temptation for your moral good. It's a trial, it's a difficulty, it's a hardship that after having passed through it makes you stronger. And by the way, what you pass through in difficulties, trials, hardships, often make you stronger for the purpose of helping somebody else some point down the line in the future who's going through the exact same thing. You can think about a lot of the trials and hardships that the Lord allows you as school, teaching you how to help someone else who will be in need and will cross your path for your moral good. The other kind of temptation is called a seductive temptation, and it is for your moral harm. It is a simple test. Do you love God or not? What will you choose with your freedom? Our Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he allows these for a season and for a reason. So, you know, these evil spirits, they do exist. And a lot of your discouragement, anxiety, sadness, confusion, doubt, and most especially divisions that we experience in our lives, this is the work of the evil one, right? But please understand, when you belong to the Lord, you have nothing to fear. God is always present and always in charge. You know how we fight back? It's so utterly unglamorous and so utterly unspectacular. You fight back with regular prayer, with devout reception of the sacraments, and might I also add, devout reception and frequent reception of confession. Humbling though it might be to go back and back and back to confession, it's one of your most powerful helps to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that here at our parish, we offer the St. Michael Prayer. Very, very powerful and important prayer, and it's certainly no accident that St. Michael stands guard at the entrance of our parish, whose prayers intercede for us and help us in our fight. So utterly, utterly unspectacular, but God's grace is your defense. Let's always remember and never fear. Our Lord has conquered the power of evil and continues to conquer in every soul that belongs to him. Amen.